Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
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 Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Panihati is a very lovely place, just situated outside of Calcutta, and it's very nice. It's the Ganga is flowing there, but quite different from Mayapur. As we know, Mayapur, it has white open river banks with not much vegetation, but Panihati is very different. There are many trees in Panihati. And the Ganga is not in a curve. It's flowing straight and peaceful. And right there, on the bank of the Ganga, is that very large banyan tree, which is the tree where Lord Nityananda sat on. Trees live much longer than human beings. And therefore, even that original tree from 500 years ago is still present today. Lord Nityananda assembled there with his devotees. Under the tree is a raised platform, as often in India they do. And it is described that indeed Nityananda was seated on the bank of the Ganga and seated under that banyan tree along with his associates on a raised platform. Another place in Panihati is the house of Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was very strict in whatever he wanted to offer to the Lord. It had to be the very best. Nothing but the best would do. And it is described that he was an expert at coconuts, which in West Bengal is to be expected because they have plenty of coconut trees. So he knew where the best coconuts, large and sweet, were available in the entire Bengal. And he arranged for such coconuts to be brought. And then you have experts who with a chopper knife chop the coconuts so that they're open and one can drink. So he had one expert do that particular job. And everything was fine. But then the person who carried the coconut for a moment leaned against the doorpost and then touched the coconut which was supposed to be offered. Raghava Pandit said, "Throw it away. It is useless. It cannot be offered." The doorway is a very contaminated place because people go through, so much dust is there. We cannot pollute the offering to the Lord, throw it away. We'll have to bring a new coconut to be offered. So Raghava Pandit, like that, was such a devotee who, out of ecstatic love, didn't want to offer any less than perfection to Krishna. And never thought, "Ah, well, what can you do?" No. The best must be done, and no less was Raghava Pandit's mood. So Raghava Pandit also lived there in Panihati. His house is there today. Still, and Panihati is a nice place because the area where the banyan tree is kind of secluded from the rest of the town, and there is, it's like a half circle of water around it, so no cars can go. Only on foot can one go into that area where the banyan tree is. So it's like a nicely preserved holy tirtha or holy place. When Lord Nityananda was seated there one day, at that time, Raghunath Das, who was eager, very eager, to meet the Lord, to meet Lord Chaitanya, Raghunath Das came to meet Lord Nityananda. Raghunath Das's situation was quite unique because his father was a very influential personality who was a tax collector for the government for a very large area, and his father was making as much as 1.2 million gold coins a month. So even today, that would be an impressive salary, what to speak of 500 years ago. So Raghunath Das was born in an immensely wealthy family, and as such, he was destined to become the successor of his father, naturally, as those who take birth in rich families are destined to be. But Raghunath Das had no desire to do so. He didn't show any interest at all in mundane affairs because somehow or other, Raghunath Das had become captured by all that he had heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present on the planet because Raghunath Das was a bit younger. So Mahaprabhu's pastimes were unfolding everywhere. And as such, the fame of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and his associates was spreading everywhere. All of Bengal was talking about the amazing symptoms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love and the amazing kirtans and ecstasies that all his devotees were experiencing. And Raghunath Das, as a child, drank in every word and as a result became a great devotee of the Lord. So, in this way, it is said that Raghunath Das, when he was a child, that Haridas Thakur visited his home. And as a result of that association with Haridas, the seed of bhakti was planted. Because it is by a pure devotee's mercy that one becomes qualified. Then, when all those blessings of such a devotee like Haridas, and all that Raghunath Das heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when all that fructified in him, it emerged in a very strong desire to join the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His parents really had other ideas for him. They were sure that he was going to make a career in the world, and they were not going to tolerate anything else. So, in order to make sure that all his comforts were cared for in life, they supplied him with various servants who were always with him at any moment so that he would not have to suffer any austerity. And meanwhile, they could keep an eye on him and make sure that he wouldn't escape. Basically, he was a prisoner. Basically, these servants were his jail keepers, and there was no way that he could escape. Still, occasionally, Raghunath Das managed to somehow or other escape their supervision and escape, and only for his father to react immediately and send an army of men after him that would capture him and bring him back. And each time that Raghunath Das tried to escape and join the movement of Lord Chaitanya, his father managed to block him. somehow or other, it just didn't work. But then Nityananda came very close to the residence of Raghunathdas. Nityananda somehow or other passed through that area and passed through Panihati, which was only a day excursion. So that was something the family allowed, you know, I mean, after all, you have to sometimes give in a little bit, right? You cannot just oppress all the time. So, all right, okay then, because you want so much, yes, all right, you can see Nityananda, but of course, we will send some assistance with you to look for all your comforts, so and so on, so that you will not be lacking anything. Anyway, Raghunath, he went. And when Raghunath does, in great ecstasy, in great anticipation, saw Lord Nityananda seated there under that banyan tree, even from a distance, Raghunathdas, he was so overwhelmed because finally, after all this time, he actually was getting into direct contact with the movement of Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he saw Lord Nityananda, he fell on the ground in prostrated obeisances. Nityananda, who was powerful, who was not just a soft personality. Nityananda, who had a thundering voice, loudly, loudly called out that, "You, Raghunath, you thief, capture him, capture this thief." Then Nityananda sent some of his men who immediately captured Raghunath. And again, again, Raghunadas was captured. He was getting used to it. Again and again, being captured. But this time, not captured by the man of his father, but captured by the man of Nityananda, who dragged him before Nityananda. And there, he was accused of being a thief. And a due punishment was promised to him. Why a thief? Nityananda explained, "Because you have denied me the opportunity to embrace you. I offer you obeisances at such a great distance instead of coming before me. You paid your obeisances at a great distance. You are a thief for this." So, like that, Raghunathdas was punished, and his punishment was that he was meant to organize a festival and serve chip rice to everyone. And Raghunathdas, when it was everyone, after all, he was not a poor man. So he arranged, he bought all the chip rice, all the yogurt that he could buy. And, you know, when the news went out that there is this man, he's just really rich, and he's just buying up all the chip rice and all the yogurt. People came from everywhere with chip rice and yogurt. Wherever they found it, they brought it, and they sold it as well. And Raghunathdas would buy everything. He just kept on buying more yogurt, more chip rice, but that wasn't everything. All the people who had sold their chip rice, they were also, and yogurt, they were also invited to partake in the festival. Raghunathdas engaged some brahmanas to prepare everything. Chip rice is not like cornflakes ready in the pack, you know. Chip rice has to be soaked, otherwise it tastes like cardboard, right? So, I have experience, and when I didn't soak it long enough, so the brahmanas were expert at chip rice, and they had a portion which they soaked in condensed milk, and another portion which they put in this yogurt, and they had big clay pots everywhere, and more people arrived. Everyone heard about it, and it just became enormous. It became huge. So many devotees came that the whole area just filled up and there was no more space until finally, devotees were sitting in the Ganga itself. Right? They were up to their neck in the Ganga, and they didn't care. It's warm after all, and you know, what's wrong with sitting in the Ganga? As long as you get your chip rice. So it was, and then everyone got two pots with chip rice. Just if we for a moment go to Panihati today, Panihati today is also something really wonderful, because Panihati today, it's also a huge festival. Everybody is there, and everybody and his uncle is making flat rice or chip rice with different ingredients, right? And the bigger the ashrams, they have tents and they have big arrangements. ISKCON's also there with a serious chip rice. And of course, the chip rice of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is special. There's no doubt about it, because the things that go in that one, whole kuluk jamas just disappear in the chip rice, and mango pulp, and you know, like incredible amounts of dried fruit and this and that. But don't underestimate the chip rice made by some old Bengali widow in two little pots, because she may not have all those opulent ingredients, but she knows how to spice intricately with some cinnamon, some nutmeg, and some black pepper, and boy, I mean, and some sugar at the same time, or sugar candy, right? Mystery. And that's also pretty sweet. So you can go around the whole area and just taste all the varieties that are there. A little of this, a little of there. So it's that kind of a festival, very ecstatic and amazing. And yes, an ocean of chip rice. Everyone is making, everyone is tasting, everyone is distributing, everyone is receiving. Like this, we are celebrating. When Lord Nityananda was present 500 years ago, at that time the festival was of course even more special, because the mercy of Nityananda was directly there. And it is said that when all the devotees were sitting there with two pots of sweet rice or chip rice, at that time Lord Nityananda started to walk between them. Some saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also manifest, and Lord Nityananda would take a morsel of every pot, put it in the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would take a morsel and would put it in the mouth of Nityananda. So in this way, some people could see that, others could not. Others just saw Nityananda. Of course, we can just imagine that even now, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are also present wherever Panihati is performed. Only some can see it and others cannot. The authority for such a statement I can base on Srila Prabhupada's statement that wherever there is chanting, dancing, and Krishna prasadam on the Sunday feast, certainly Lord Chaitanya is personally present. So then we understand from that yes, certainly Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda are also personally present in our Panihati festival, not to be underestimated when later on we taste. The more internal meaning of the entire pastime is that Lord Nityananda is the most merciful. And Lord Nityananda is the most merciful because he is the original servant of Lord Chaitanya. His name is Nitya Ananda, always blissful, eternally blissful. Why? Because he is always absorbed in the service of the Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Lord Nityananda is getting so intoxicated from serving Lord Chaitanya, from that bliss that he's tasting, that in his drunken state he can no longer see who's qualified and who is not, and he gives the mercy to whoever moves, whatever moves, give it to them. In this way, Lord Nityananda does not discriminate. He overlooks any fault. Even qualification is not a consideration. Therefore, the mercy of Nityananda is important, is essential. First, that mercy of Nityananda is required. Raghunath Das then went and came to Panihati, came before Lord Nityananda, and received the mercy of Nityananda. How did he receive the mercy of Nityananda?
On the other side.
Other side. He received that mercy of Nityananda in a seeming chastisement. But actually, what he received was service. Nityananda engaged him immediately in devotional service. So this is the nature of Nityananda. Because it is said, Lord Chaitanya is none other than Krishna. Vrajananandanye Sachisukta Hurdose Palaram Hurnitai. Krishna's Vrajananandan. He is the son of all the residents of Vrindavan. And Balaram is Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya, being Krishna himself, is known as Savior Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekla Ishvara or Sarvabritya Yara Yecha Naitya Tara Krishna Ritya. There is one Supreme Lord, and all others are dancing like puppets according to his will. So, there is one Supreme Lord who is served by all. Even all the expansions of the Lord are ultimately serving also Lord Krishna, as Balaram is doing, as Nityananda is doing, as Advaita Acharya is doing. All the expansions of the Lord are in that mood. Ami Chaitanya Dasar Muni. I am the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please know me to be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda, being the original servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is serving the Lord in many ways. Because it is said, Nityananda, he expands himself as Lord Balaram, and from Lord Balaram comes Mahasankarsan. From Mahasankarsan expands Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu expands Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, Kshiradaksaya Vishnu. So all the three Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, Kshiradaksaya Vishnu, even the Super Soul, is all Lord Nityananda. Is all Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Balaram, it is described, expands himself and he becomes also Vrindavan Dham. He becomes Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda becomes everything that the Lord requires. He becomes his seat, he becomes his bed, he becomes his shoes, he becomes the mridanga, the harmonium, the kartals. He becomes his plate, he becomes all the utensils. The shoes of Lord Chaitanya are actually Lord Nityananda. Like this, he becomes the Brahmin thread. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Vishvambar walks in Navadvip in an aristocratic mood, then Ananta, the expansion of Nityananda, becomes the thread, the Brahminical thread on his chest. As Ananta Sesh, Lord Nityananda takes the form of a multi-hooded snake with many, many mouths. And with all these mouths, Lord Nityananda, or Ananta, Lord Ananda, Ananta, is glorifying Krishna. And it said, the mouth of Ananta is the jewel case where the jewel of the glorification of Krishna is kept. So without approaching Ananta, one cannot glorify Lord Krishna. Therefore, how can one chant without approaching Ananta first? Therefore, Raghunath Das tried again and again to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he did not have the adhikar. He did not have the authority. No. Anything in spiritual life depends on adhikar, on blessings. After we've received certain blessings, the blessings of the Vaishnavas, the blessings of service, then accordingly we get a certain authorization to perceive the Lord or to access the mercy of the Lord. Raghunath Das did not have the adhikar. He did not have the adhikar. He may have had the desire. He may have had the desire to enter into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he did not have the adhikar. But by the mercy of Nityananda, by serving Lord Nityananda, by that devotional service, by assisting Nityananda in his service to widely distribute mercy everywhere, by serving Nityananda, he developed the adhikar. By Nityananda's personal blessings, who embraced him by force and then punished him with service, in that way he developed the adhikar. So this is the process, and this is also our process to develop the adhikar. We know Kanista Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. The Kanista has weak faith, and therefore his adhikar is not very great. He doesn't get much authority. You know, he doesn't get a very powerful password. Only access to one level. A guest. On the computer, there is a guest, right? Account, and there's the administrator's account. And if you get the guest account, then there's a few things that you can do on the computer. But when you get the administrator's account, then you can do much more. But as a guest, you don't get that password. You don't get the adhikar. You don't get the adhikar to go into the computer. It's like a password. So in this way, he got the password. He got the entrance into the deeper realm of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the mercy of Nityananda. Of course, the devotees of Nityananda, they carry the mercy of Nityananda. And preaching Krishna consciousness around the world is the work of Nityananda. When Srila Prabhupada therefore brought Krishna consciousness to Stockholm, and when he preached in the Uppsala University, right, at that time, and when the question was asked, when Prabhupada lectured and explained who was a first-class man, he explained the system of Varnashram, and he explained how the Sudra, fourth-class man, the Vaishya, third-class man, Kshatriya, second-class man, because he follows Dharma, the Brahmana, first-class man, because he is concerned with enlightenment. yes, first class man. And then at the end, they asked Prabhupada, one student asked Prabhupada, so what class are you? And Prabhupada then spoke those glorious words, I'm a fifth class man. I am the servant of all. So this spirit of humility is found in the servants of Lord Nityananda, who are bringing this Krishna consciousness everywhere to the most fallen, and then create opportunities for them also to take up Krishna consciousness. Those who are drunks, intoxicated, those who are corrupted by dishonesty, who are thieves and steal, those were the recipients of the mercy of Nityananda. We find later in Chaitanya Bhagavat that story of the dacoits who tried to steal Nityananda's wealth. Because although Nityananda was a renunciant, he was not exactly a sannyasi. Rather, he did not wear the saffron cloth, Nityananda in his bluish cloth, silk, of course, silk, wearing turbans and lots of jewels, because somehow or other Nityananda in his preaching had made this devotee, Udaram Dutta, Udaram Dutta Thakur, who was from the Suvarnavarnik community. Suvarnavarnik community is a community of businessmen, a community of goldsmiths, and very opulent family. And Udaram Dutta Thakur became the devotee of Nityananda, a very ecstatic devotee of Nityananda. He gave him all his jewels. So in this way, Nityananda had a ring on every finger and jewels everywhere on his turban. And when the dacoits saw him, you know, every dacoit, every thief, every criminal is always waiting for that one occasion. You know what I mean? That one occasion where in one stroke, you've made it for life. I mean, that's the dream of every thief, you know? I know. The dream of every thief, take it from me, is that to in one stroke make it for life. And when these dacoits saw Nityananda, they thought, man, if we get those diamonds, we've made it for life. But they followed Nityananda, tried to get those jewels, but it didn't work out, because the first night that they were dug in, they fell asleep. Later on, they waited for a dark moon night, and again were ready to attack, and then there were guards, suddenly huge guards, and again they tried, and then there were there was no obstacle, and they were ready to go, and then suddenly they all went blind at the same time, and they just crashed and fell, and then a thunderstorm hit, and rain and thunder, and it was just hell. They suffered and suffered, injured, broken bones, catching pneumonia, name it all the misery of the world happened to them in that one night. Then the leader of the dacoits, a fallen Brahmana, could understand. He could understand. This is no longer just going on by chance. This is divine. This is a divine arrangement, and it is because Nityananda is not just an ordinary person. He is divine. And then that dacoit decided to surrender to Nityananda, and made all the others surrender to Nityananda. And it said that later, after that dacoit had become a devotee, from time to time he would come to the assembly of Nityananda and bring some sort of sinister looking characters before Nityananda, obvious criminals, and force them to bow down at Nityananda's feet. And they would bow down to Nityananda's feet. So that's interesting, because how everyone preaches to his own people goes back to his own kind, and how the dacoit, how the criminal went back to other criminals and so on. And everyone ultimately preaches to his ilk, as they say. So Lord Nityananda, his mercy is in that way spreading everywhere. And yes, because Nityananda does not care who's intoxicated, does not care who is a thief, does not care about anyone's disqualification. Therefore, especially Nityananda is the one who can engage us. Yes, we can also chant. Yes, we can also partake. But it's, and Srila Prabhupada then describes that Jagai and Madai, they were the most fallen, and Nityananda, of course, arranged to deliver them. We saw, we heard about the streams of blood from Nityananda's face, and we heard, Lord, and saw how Lord Chaitanya came in great anger with his chakra, and we saw. So, but Jagai and Madai got that mercy. Prabhupada then explains, he said that Nityananda was more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, because Nityananda delivered Jagai and Madai, right? He said, but a devotee is even more merciful than Lord Nityananda, because the devotee can deliver many thousands of Jagais and Madais. And Prabhupada pointed out that nowadays everyone is Jagai and Madai. It is not difficult to see Jagai and Madai. You don't have to go far. I mean, even here, you step out of the door and go a bit to the right or to the left, as you like. And I'm sure you see them. I was in Poland in the Woodstock Festival, and there they were. Jagai and Madai, serious? No? Absolutely. I tell you. Jagai, he had dreadlocks, and for fun, he had tied empty beer cans to the different dreadlocks. So he had like at least 50 empty beer cans hanging on his dreadlocks. Right? Madai had taken a empty cardboard beer box, right? Made a hole in it, and made a crown, and then had many empty bottles around, like there. And as soon as I saw them, I was ready to offer them a contract, you know. And then, I mean, these guys, you know, I wouldn't find anybody better to play the part than them, you know. I tried to sign them up right there and then. But anyway, they were too intoxicated, holding bottles also of wine in their hands. They were too intoxicated. When I showed them the contract, they couldn't relate to it. But anyway, they walked into the Woodstock camp, and I kind of lost sight of them in the crowd, so many things were going on. But about 15 minutes later, I saw them both with a plate of prasadam feeding each other papadams. And I knew that again, Jagai and Madai received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The devotee of Lord Nityananda can deliver thousands and thousands of Jagais and Madais, totally disregarding their qualification, totally overlooking their sinful activities. And who doesn't need that? Who doesn't need that? Some are openly and blatantly engaging in sinful activities, and others behind closed curtains, when no one watches, behind a curtain of hypocrisy. But the same thing, everyone, everywhere in the world, no one is exempt. No one is exempt. In this way, that mercy is very essential. So, when we speak about the mercy of Nityananda, it comes to us through his devotee. Because simply through one devotee. Because one devotee took up the preaching work in the entire world. Once Hari Sori, Srila Prabhupada's servant, was saying that he wanted to do more than being just a personal servant. He was getting restless. It was not uncommon. It had happened before to Srila Prabhupada's other servants. He was getting restless. So he wanted to go out and preach. And Prabhupada said, "What will you preach? What will you preach? How can you preach?" Prabhupada said, "I am preaching." And he said, "What can you preach?" "I am preaching. You carry my words, then some effect." We can see Prabhupada's preaching. It is Prabhupada that adds the credibility to this movement. It is Prabhupada that is the example of pure love of God. Who else? Who else can show that? We can make a great show, undoubtedly. We can sing, we can dance, we can fly onto the Vyasa Sthan with a somersault. We can do different tricks, quote a few slokes, and it may impress people for a while. But at one point, the shells will fall from their eyes, and they will see that all that really counts is love of God. And then, what can we do other than to, in honest humility, point at His divine grace, right? And simply point there and say, love of God, it's there. And we are simply behind Him. We are simply behind Him all the way. We are simply praying to Him all the way. He will take us to the feet of Nityananda. No one else. He will take us to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. No one else. He will take us. He will take us into the pastimes of Sankirtan. And he will drive us, He will push us, He will make us against our will, reluctant as we are, but still He will make us. And then one who dives into the pastimes of Gauranga will emerge in the pastimes of Krishna and ultimately become a resident of the spiritual world. So all that is there, all that is available by the mercy of Nityananda, His representatives, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of all the acharyas who all labored hard to make it possible, the mercy of all the devotees and all their service. We can appreciate that the service of other devotees makes everything wonderful. What is wonderful about this temple, all the service that has been done? Of course, the deities, right? And the service of the devotees who dress the deities and make it beautiful. It is that effort. Prabhupada, in dressing the deities, says that if you do your utmost best to dress the deity in a very beautiful way, then you will forget everything about the beauty of this material world. So that's powerful. And with it, we share. Of course, the one who dressed the deity gets the most mercy. But we all share in taking darshan. Then we look around and we go to the left. We see how in the past devotees have made beautiful panels, right, depicting the pastimes of Mahavishnu and the universes appearing from Him, and so on. The Super Soul. We see all these. We see photos taken of Vrindavan. We see everywhere devotional influence. We see the deity of Prabhupada, which is, you know, such likeness, such expert artisans have made. So everywhere we see the devotional service, and it's that devotional service that we see that brings us the mercy. It's prasadam. It's the bhakti in prasadam, they say, that is the essence. Yes, of course, it's the bhakti. Not only Krishna tastes the bhakti, we also taste it. It's different than a TV dinner, you know. Throw it in the microwave and bing, you know. I'll eat later. It's okay. I'm not so hungry now. No excitement. Prasadam, yeah, it's like, oh. Yes, people, they become captured. There was a priest, he was visiting in Raladesh one time, and we were entertaining him and looking after him and having some sort of formal inter-religious dialogue, and suddenly a devotee walks past with a tray of Mahaprasadam. And the priest just stopped and put his hand right in there. He just put his hand in there, grabbed a balloon puri, just grabbed it, and took a big bite out of that puri and said, oh, this is delicious. We knew that at that point he was taken over by the mercy of the Lord. We knew he had fallen out of his role as a priest and had now come to the platform of a soul whose pious credits had just awarded him this opportunity of grabbing the mercy, and he grabbed it. We knew. We acted as if it was perfectly normal. Oh, yes. Tasty, isn't it? In this way, happily witnessing how he just received transcendental mercy. In this way, so many times we see how people, somehow or other, are touched by this transcendental mercy in different ways. All that is brought by the mercy of the devotees. Not something abstract, but something very tangible. Their service, you know. They took the trouble of learning how to make balloon puris. Yeah, they don't blow up. It's the dough. I tell you, it's the dough. It's the dough. Okay. You have to knead it longer. Longer, still longer. Yes, longer, longer. Until it becomes more smooth. Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's dripping in ghee. That's ridiculous, you know. You don't put that much ghee. Or it's so dry, it's all cracked. Come on, you know. Cracked dough. That won't make it. It has to be elastic and it's kind of nice substance. Then you roll puris, shove it in the ghee, balloons. But then, not good. Not good. Not cooked properly. Outside. Puffed up and golden brown, but inside, still not cooked. Don't you know how to make a puri? You're making the ghee too hot. Too hot. Think you'll do the job quickly? Useless puris. Not too cold. When the ghee is too cold, they sink to the bottom. Oh God, they soak up the fat. And later on, they're dripping in disgusting, greasy things, you know, which are served to you in the name of puri. Right? No, we want the ghee at the perfect temperature so that the puri pops up nicely and at the same time cooks on the inside. Ah, now your puri is ready to offer to the Lord. Oh, and then it's Mahaprasadam, expertly prepared by devotees who took the trouble to learn and to go through this, through all the failures, and who stuck through it and got the chastisement from those who were more expert, and finally, in all humility, yes, Prabhu, I'll try, I will. and now became Puri Acharyas, like our Kurma in Australia, in Melbourne, he was before. Is one of the kitchen acharyas of ISKCON, right? And he walks in. He cooks an offering for the Lord. Everyone knows that when Kurma has cooked, don't you dare to touch the Mahaprasada before he comes. So everyone is waiting, no one touches. Kurma comes, personally takes that Mahaprasada. Devotee Sajas, like, their mouths already watering, are lining up and sitting down. And Kurma not only brings out that the Maha offering, but brings out more pots and personally serves out everything. And every prep is perfect and delicious, inconceivable. Everyone is competing with the other for the prize of the year. That, through him, that mercy manifests. In the kitchen, he's a terror. He's a terror. Everything has to be perfect. Everything, every detail gets 100% attention. It's not coming just by magic. It comes by hard work. It comes by, and in this way, we see everywhere the hard work in the service of the devotees and what they have left. And that is why today, we have appreciated all the effort that went into the dramatic performance, learning the lines and arranging the whole things, thinking it out, rehearsing. One can see there is so many rehearsals and things behind everything. That's the bhakti. It's the bhakti that speaks. A play that's slapped together in 5 minutes is also nice, but it doesn't carry the same amount of bhakti. And therefore, we appreciate how that mercy of Lord Nityananda comes through us to the devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Nityananda Ram ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki jai. Now we'll have some kirtan, or you still? Huh?
You want, there are some questions.
If there are questions, then we can take those also.
Yeah.
Are there questions? If there are no questions, then we will not take them. Always the same people. Yes, Anand.
Last year when we were in Leipzig, Janani was gave a class. He heard from a devotee in Australia. That the devotee said that for those devotees who are lamenting that they are alive now and they missed out the time during Lord Chaitanya here, he said that, that's what I want to ask because I really didn't catch the, he said that Chaitanya Charitamrita will be rewritten and actually we are living right now in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay. Yes, well, we are living right now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is a quote, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that in the future Vyasadeva will appear and will write down the pastimes of many more pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes have not ended. How have they ended? It's clearly going on now. Lord Chaitanya, it's by Lord Chaitanya's mercy that you and I are sitting here with Tilak and so on. Otherwise we were destined for something else, that's for sure. But it's by that mercy that it's going on. So when it is described in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that the movement of Lord, the Sankrita movement of Lord Chaitanya will be present for a golden age of 10,000 years, that's still to be written, you see. Everything that is going to happen in the golden age is still to be written down. It hasn't come to the peak. But it is interesting that it is said in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that there will be Ekavarna Haribhakta. Haribhakta. Eka Varna Hari Bhakta. So what does that mean? It's that there will be no more Varna Ashram. So society will no longer be, will not be broken up in Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. No. Only one class, devotees, devotees of the Lord, Hari Bhakta. So it will be a very transcendental society. So it will not be Varna Ashram with a temple on every street corner and where everyone is performing his religious duty. We are performing the religious duty. No, it will not be religious duty. It will be much more. It will be Hari Bhakta. It will be relishing the nectar. It will be transcendental. And what will we see? What will happen? I can just imagine the scenes that will come. One devotee grabs his mridanga, walks out in the street. Others see, hey, what's that? He's out there with his mridanga. Immediately they come out with the kartals and the kirtan starts. Some lady is looking and seeing, wow, they're having a kirtan party. And she already starts, I better make some pizzas, they're going to be hungry. Right? It all will be spontaneous. It will happen. And already such things are going on. The first Rath Yatra in Jaipur, in India, I'm telling you, the devotees were, they just started, they had a small center and they started a simple Rath Yatra. So they had a chariot, wasn't that big, only one and some devotees. And then, you know, the people from Jaipur, they saw this. They said, oh, you're having festival. Oh, you're having Rath of the Lord. And they arranged, you know, they just joined. After a while, there was an elephant and they joined the parade. There was a band in front. In the evening, people came and carried lights on their heads. Nothing was managed. It all came spontaneous. Because the devotion of some awoke more. What will the golden age be like? Imagine when the devotion of one devotee awakens more devotion in others, and they all respond to each other, all these Hari Bhaktas. What will it look like, the golden age? Grains will start popping out of the ground spontaneously. The conditions of nature return to the situation of Satya Yuga. What will happen? Everything will just be easy and just naturally provided and all used by the devotees. The planet will be like the spiritual world. All that has to be written. All that has to be written. We can just imagine it now. But coming back, Jamani Jamani Sure, coming back for another birth to see what it's really going to be like. Oh yes, let us see how the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will unfold. That is yet to be written. So yes, when Janani was said that, he quoted me by saying that we are right now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is there any doubt? If there is, then how are we here? If we're not in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then how come? How come? We are wearing tilak and negri. No. It's always the same people.
We were just talking recently about when we appreciate the service of devotees, sometimes we can get more benefit than than the person who is doing the service, actually, if we do it properly. Can you say a little bit more?
Say it again.
When we appreciate service done by other devotees, sometimes we can get as much mercy, if not more, even more mercy than the person who actually performed the service.
Well, that's also, you're reacting to my statement that the one who performs the service gets the most. But everyone perceives Krishna according to his own adhikar, according to his own level of entrance into the spiritual realm. Right? So, if one's adhikar is great, if one has great access into the transcendental vision, then one appreciates everything on a higher transcendental level. So in this way, according to the adhikara of the devotee, his capacity to appreciate service is there. And therefore, sometimes even the observer can have greater appreciation than the one who's doing the service, depending on the adhikara. Yes?
I heard that when Srila Prabhupada was here, or even shortly after, the mood among devotees was that as soon as some few devotees got together, they just started kirtan, or started to read from Krishna book, or like discuss Krishna's pastime. It was like so much more absorption, you can say. At least that's what I heard. But when Pankajari Prabhu was here some years ago, he mentioned, oh, Sweden is ready, we just need a person who will wake them up. And I would like to ask you for advice. How can we more develop this mood, which was maybe here around Srila Prabhupada's times, more like intense, you know, getting more kirtans?
Okay. I don't know if in Prabhupada's time it was, if it was really, if everyone was so Krishna conscious, but Prabhupada was so himself, so Krishna conscious, that he created so much faith in people. And because he created so much faith, therefore everyone was very eager to follow him completely, as much as they understood. They didn't understand so much, but they were ready to follow very, very spontaneously. And therefore, this kind of spontaneity, of spontaneous hearing chanting, which echoes the advanced platform, manifested in them. At the same time, they didn't have much experience or much maturity, not in life and not in the history of Krishna consciousness. They didn't know much what it takes to maintain a spirit, a regular sadhana over a longer period of time. They were not thinking about how to find balance and so on. So now we're living in a different era. We don't have the same strong, inspirational person who creates all that immediate faith. But we have more history, we have more guidance with us in that way of what it takes to live with Krishna consciousness in a balanced way. So we're proceeding a little more thoughtful, not so spontaneous as in those earlier days. But we are here asking questions, answering them, as always, and so many times you have asked the questions.
Yes. So, you know.
So it's going on. It's going on. Spontaneously, you're asking the questions. So what is the difference between you and those devotees from them? No difference. The same thing is still going on in a somewhat different form right now. And then a person to awake. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Jiva Dharma something about the lotus. And he compares this, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, like a lotus. And he says the lotus of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is gradually opening. So when Prabhupada came to establish the movement, he gave it like in a concentrate form. Just when you make the drink, you know, you use concentrated lemon, you know, you have lemon juice and three, and then you add water, and then it goes around as the drink. So Prabhupada gave the concentrate, and then it became something that took forms and shapes in the Western world. He gave ideas. Then we'd have to do it. You're a brahmachari. How to be a brahmachari in Stockholm? Not exactly like in the Vedic culture, right? It's a little different. All these things. So gradually it's all taking shape. The lotus is opening. So we're as much on the cutting edge as it was then. The golden age is unfolding. History will be written about the different groups of different devotees, just as it's written. The history is written in Bhakti Ratnakar about the followers who came after Lord Chaitanya. That's also Chaitanya Charitamrita. Achyutananda came with a group of devotees to Kateri. Right? And, you know, maybe one day we'll read that. Tapas came with a group of devotees from Stockholm. You know? And you read it, hey, that's us. That's us. So, the lotus is opening. And it's still as transcendental as ever. And Maya is as strong as she always was. As she was in 1966. And as she's now. Because ultimately, it's up to every individual to make something glorious out of their lives. They got the chance, and it's just up to every individual to make something glorious out of their lives. And if you want, you do it. And if you don't, what to do? You always get another chance. Next life will be there. Anyway, Nityananda. Thank you very much, Shri Prabhupada.